just understand that his actions can have an impact on people, trying to get him to have that positive impact on people.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
What's going on, everyone? Art Eddy here for The Art of Fatherhood, and on the line, I'm very happy to have Nick Ahmed. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Yeah, thanks for having me on. I'm excited.
Yeah, man. I'm always fascinated and I enjoy my conversations with athletes who are at the pro level. We're going to talk about baseball in a second, but of course, the reason why I'm excited to have you on is talk about fatherhood. So, Nick, your kids are younger than mine, but take me back when you found out you were going to be a dad for the first time. What was going through your mind, sir?
Yeah, so like you said, our kids are young. We have two boys right now. Jack is 3.5 going on 4 this summer, and then we have Cole, who is about 16 months or so. So when I found out we were having Jack, man, I was excited. I felt fairly unqualified, didn't know what to expect, and definitely didn't feel ready. But I guess that's why God gives us 9 months to prepare. So it was excitement mixed with some nerves. We had some time to get ready, I guess.
I love that, man. Yeah. God gives you 9 months just so you can start prepping and going through all the different scenarios in life, right? I love it. One of the things too, man, and you and your wife give a lot to the community. You guys give back, which is fantastic, of course, not just for your sons, but, you know, people who look up to you, like kids and people who look at you as a role model, Nick. Besides helping those countries and different communities in need, feeding the hungry, getting them water and all that good stuff, your sons will see that and see the great work that you, like I said, that you and your wife do for others. Talk about some of the other core values you're looking to instill into your sons as they're growing up.
Yeah, we're trying to teach them, you know, a lot. Obviously, with Jack being the oldest right now, we're teaching him more so. But we want to teach them a lot of things. We want to teach them to live by faith. We want them to trust in God. We want them to live honest lives. 3.5, almost 4-year-old right now. He's starting to learn the art of deception. We're trying to teach him how to be honest and not just teach him the right behavior, but trying to get to the heart level and trying to get him to understand why and that his actions have consequences and just trying to get him to love people. Just show them how he can love people even at the age he's at. And, you know, teach him that he doesn't have to just be an adult to do the things that, you know, God wants him to do and the things that me and Amanda do as well. So they can be done at any age and just understand that his actions can have an impact on people. Trying to get him to have that positive impact on people.
Well said, sir. I appreciate what you guys are looking to do. And, you know, also too, just to kind of piggyback on what you said over there about the art of deception, it's crazy too, because like you always think like certain times, like, all right, you know, I got this. Then certain things pop up and you're like, man, kids grow fast and like not just height and weight and all that other stuff, but mentally too. There's certain things that you're like, all right, the gears are turning, right? You're looking at yours, you're like, it's first like you're old, just like, wait, how is this happening, right? So talk a little bit about with the art of deception, because I remember too, like when my oldest, when, you know, because there's about 2 years between my two kids, right? And like when my oldest was like realizing she's not the only kid in the family, right? She's kind of vying for attention back at like when she was 2. There's certain things where they say things to cause you to be like, wait, what did you just do? What's going on? So talk a little bit about how you and your wife are working that out with your son.
Yeah, no, it's hard. So Jack has deception and he plays all these kind of tricks about going to bed. He hates going to bed right now. So he pulls out, you know, every trick in the bag to figure out how he can stay up later and, you know, delay his bedtime even longer. So he goes to everything from, Daddy, I have to go to the bathroom, to I'm hungry, I want a snack, or, you know, whatever it is, he tries. And now we just tell him straight up, like, hey, dude, we're not falling for that trick tonight. You're going to bed. And he kind of smirks and laughs and does that now. So he understands there's a little bit of a game to it. With his younger brother, with Cole, he builds a lot of things. He loves to build and he wants to be a builder when he grows up. So we got these little magnet tiles and all these kind of Lego stuff that he builds all the time. And he always, you know, wants to leave them up so everyone can see him and he can, you know, admire his work. But his little brother comes by and he's a little destructo man and just loves to smash everything down. So, he always says, no, Coley, you're not allowed in the playroom, you know, all this kind of stuff. I don't want Coley in here. So he's always, you know, trying to claim his space in the house and not let his little brother in there. But we're obviously trying to teach him about sharing and, you know, how to teach his brother how to do things he knows how to do. So it's a challenge at times. And there's times that we just kind of laugh and don't know what to do and just have to pray about it. But, you know, there's a lot of fun times and trying to teach the little ones.
For sure, man. Appreciate you sharing that. I know that a lot of dads are going to appreciate that story too, because you always kind of have to think about what their mindset is and try and you and your wife are like, okay, no, we know you don't want to go to bed, but you have to go to bed. So we all kind of struggle with that. And of course, things are very different right now. You know, if things were, you know, quote unquote normal. Talk a little bit about when you are playing and all that. How do you balance work and family? I'm guessing FaceTime comes in real handy.
Yeah, it's hard, you know, especially during road trips, being gone for 7 to 10 days at a time. And even when we are home, you know, have to be at the ballpark pretty much from, you know, 1 o'clock until 11 at night every day. Very limited off days, but thankful for technology, thankful for that opportunity to FaceTime and just see their faces and see them smiling and all that. But, you know, it is hard. I do feel at times I can't be good in every area of my life, which is tough for a guy like me who struggles with perfectionism and does want to be great at everything I do. You know, when I feel like I'm giving everything I can to my family and, you know, trying to help my wife out by maybe getting up early and letting her sleep in on a day here and there, you know, then I'm tired when I'm going to work and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's a balance. You just try to do what you can and do the best you can, but, you know, on a day-to-day basis and being home, and I'm gone during most of the season. When I am home, I want to spend as much time as I can with my kids and my wife. So I do give a little bit from that bank, I guess, or that bucket of trying to be rested and recovered from playing as best I can. And it's just a balance, and you have to fight that urge to try to be perfect in every area, because it's not really realistic to do.
Yeah, and I think that kind of bleeds into my next question, because a lot of what you said right there, I think, is a great piece of advice for new dads. But if you have to pick one that you'd love to share with new dads, listen to this, what is that one big piece of advice you'd offer to them?
Just to know that you're not going to be perfect. You're going to mess up, and it's okay. But just to be, especially as your kids get a little bit older, you obviously have to deal with this more than I do right now. But my older son right now sees me mess up. Just trying to own that and take ownership over your actions and do the best you can and try to be there for your family as much as possible. But knowing that you're going to mess up, knowing that you're going to get frustrated or impatient at times, and just know that when you do, your kids will appreciate it and learn from it more if you own it than rather than trying to cover it up and act like it didn't happen.
100% agree. And that's so hard, especially because we always think that, you know, we want to make sure that our kids think that we're doing the right thing 24/7, but we are human. And if we show them that, you know, we're going to make mistakes and just own up to it, then there'll be a lot of like less fights between you and your kids as they grow older, because they're going to take, you know, they're going to remember all the different things that you were honest with them about. So spot on right there, Nick. You play in the MLB. Talk a little bit about what you remember, like from your first game, the emotions and all that stuff. Like, take me back to your first game. What do you remember from that?
Yeah, man, that first game was absolutely crazy. So I was playing in AAA with our AAA affiliate, and we're on a road trip in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I knew something was up because my manager after the game was like, "Hey, what are you doing tonight?" I was like, "I don't know, going back to the hotel and going to bed probably, because finish playing the night game." He's like, "All right, we'll keep your phone on." I was like, "All right, well, something might be going down," because I'd been playing really well and I knew there was a guy that got hurt on the big league team. So I kind of, you know, was fishing something was up. And he finally called me at like 11:45 at night and told me I was going up. And I got to celebrate with teammates there, which was great. But being on a road trip was difficult because I didn't have any family there. I'm from the East Coast, from Massachusetts, and all my family is back there in Mass and Connecticut, and they were all sleeping. I actually called my parents. My parents were the only ones who woke up, and I told them what happened. But the difficult part, too, was that my debut was going to be in San Diego. The next day was a Sunday, and it was a day game in San Diego. So none of my family had time to get there.
Yeah.
The only person who could get there was my wife. So I called her. She was asleep back in Reno. You know, woke her up, tried to get her a flight, booked her that, went back to my room, packed up and did all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I had to get to San Diego for that day game. I think I had like a 5:30 flight that connected through somewhere to get to San Diego. Basically, literally laid down in the bed for 30 minutes, but was so excited and nervous I couldn't sleep. So I didn't sleep a wink. And I show up to the ballpark the next day. I'm in the starting lineup. I get there a couple hours before the game. You know, it's just a whirlwind trying to get the uniform size. The media is trying to talk to me, and I finally get loose to go out and play, and, you know, the adrenaline's pumping and everything like that, and the nerves are flying. And I remember getting the first ground ball hit to me. It didn't come to like the seventh inning.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, man, I just want to make a play and feel like I'm playing so I can kind of, you know, relax and get into the rhythm of the game. So, you know, that didn't happen defensively. And my first at bat, I was just out there competing and, you know, basically, you know, trying to keep my eyes open because I hadn't slept. And I think I had like an 8 or 9 pitch at bat. I was having a really good at bat and ended up, you know, hitting into a double play, which stunk, and struck out my next at bat. And then finally my third at bat, I got a hit. So thankful that I was able to get that first one out of the way in that first game, and just enjoyed playing my first game. It was something I wanted to do since I was 3 or 4 years old, and I'll remember it for the rest of my life.
Love that story, Nick. I appreciate you just going into detail, especially like getting a call up, because you always watching games. Like, I'm a big sports fan, and you see, like, you know, you hear like, oh, someone got called up, and it, like, you take that with a grain of salt just because you're like, oh, but like, you put that in such a personal story, and you're sharing of this everything you were kind of going through, trying to call family, trying to call your wife, trying to call all the, you know, and be like, hey, let's try and, you know, get there. Then you got the media talking to you, so a lot of stuff going on. And I mean, I could only imagine. So you got that anticipation, right? You're like waiting to make that hit, making a play. Seventh inning, man. Yeah. Like, how are you dealing with that to like finally make a defensive play?
Man, I was my palms are sweating. I was all nervous. So, and I mean, defense is kind of something that's, you know, always been a subject of confidence for me, and something that's, you know, I've worked hard at, but it's come a little bit easier than the offense. So I was like excited to get some plays and show what I could do. And it just, you know, didn't happen for so long. I was like, man, just hit the ball to me. Come on.
Speaking of defense, man, 2-time Gold Glove Award winner, man, the past 2 years. Congrats on that achievement. And I think sometimes, you know, one of the commercials that always spoke to me was like an NCAA commercial was talking about, I think it's usually like around the final four time, where it's like, how many, like, the percentage of athletes going pro, you like see like it's a very small percentage, right? You got to the major level, man. You got to like fulfill your, you know, childhood dreams, which is amazing. Are the 2 Golden Glove Awards like you're most proud of in your career? And I know baseball is a team sport, and you know that, I know that, anybody who's a fan of the game knows that. But are the 2 Golden Glove Awards like your highest achievement for you, or like, is there something else in your career so far?
Yeah, thank you for that. I mean, I think from like an achievement standpoint and, you know, award standpoint, yeah, those are the 2 highest things I've achieved to date so far. But a little bit more satisfying, not that those aren't satisfying, but just more satisfying for me based on where I came from and who I was as a player. You know, I was always told I wasn't good enough to play at the next level. Even in high school, I was told I wasn't good enough to play shortstop in college, you know, and then all down the line up to where I'm at now. So I was always kind of getting that doubt from people and telling I wasn't good enough. And the majority of that stemmed from the offensive side of the ball. The progress I've made at the plate the last couple of years, and, you know, I think I hit 19 home runs and drove in over 80 last year, and felt like I was a key part of our offensive team. Just knowing where I came from and how much hard work has gone into that has been very satisfying. It didn't come with any, you know, achievements or awards, but it just, you know, putting in the hours and pounding the stone day after day after day, and just finally starting to see some fruits of that labor, and knowing that I'm still going. I'm not, you know, a finished product, and excited to see where that growth can continue to take me.
No doubt, man. Again, like, I think sometimes, you know, fans or just people in general take it for granted. Like, oh, they're naturally gifted. They, you know, they're at the level and all that stuff. But just saying, like, the grind after grind, putting that work in, hearing, you know, people's critiques on you, but like, you know, not feeling like that's where you're at and just keep on, you know, I think that's resilience and just grit is something that your sons will see, whether you verbally tell them or just they'll see it through your actions. I think, you know, you and your wife know as well as my wife and I know, is like, kids will learn more by what you're doing than what you're saying, right? So I think that, like, all the hard work you're putting in, they'll definitely see that. And just, you know, just kind of curious too, like, do you guys talk about fatherhood in the clubhouse? I'm guessing you do, right?
Yeah, man. We have, you know, we got a few dads in the clubhouse. It's kind of turned over the last couple of years. We've got a little bit younger as a team. But we do have some dads. You know, we have David Peralta. He had his second daughter recently. Robbie Ray's got 3 kids now. Cole Calhoun, we just acquired this offseason, has got 2. I'm missing a bunch of guys. But, you know, we do have some dads in there. And, you know, we come in and share some dad stories and you know, try to wipe the sleep out of each other's eyes every morning in spring training. But, you know, it's fun. It's fun to get our kids together too, man. And just the opportunity that they have to grow up together and do fun things together is really special. So, you know, I think that's one of the best parts is just seeing our kids become friends and do things together.
Nice, man. And lastly, one more baseball question before we hit you up with the Fatherhood Quick Five. With the, you know, the full season you guys have and, like, you know, of course you're playing the game you love, but there's certain times that, you know, you always see, like, the fun, like, tricks. Everybody's kind of like the practical jokes people are playing on each other in each clubhouse and around the big leagues. Is there someone that, like you guys all have to watch out for?
Man, I don't know. We have a pretty good clubhouse that guys get along and keep playing. I don't know if we have one you know, kind of jokester more than anybody else. But we do have a guy, Eduardo Escobar, who is a clubhouse kind of jokester, keeping it light kind of guy, but he is, like, deathly afraid of cats. So we all kind of try to keep him on his toes with that. And one of the guys who has a cat brought his cat in last year just to make him a little bit uncomfortable, which was pretty funny. I think our media crew captured it. So we're always keeping it live. We play 162 games and, you know, we travel together, we eat together, we do so much together that if you're not laughing and having a good time, it's going to make for a very long and arduous season.
Sure, man. Again, thanks for sharing your thoughts on fathering, of course, playing the big leagues. Now we've got the Fatherhood Quick Five. And of course, they're young, so it might be hard for them to sit through a whole movie, but you guys have a favorite family movie.
You know, we're into the like the Pixar movies right now. A couple of our favorites. We love Sing and Boss Baby. Those are two good ones that we love.
Cookies are for closers, my friends. I love that.
Yeah.
Favorite family song, or is there an artist that you and your wife are excited to share with your kids?
So we went to this conference over the off season called PAO, Professional Athletes Outreach, the Christian conference, and they brought in this guy who was kind of leading worship with his wife, and he played this song called Family. His name is Drew Holcomb, and it was this, like, catchy song that kind of repeats the line family over and over again. And we actually brought it home and played it for our kids, and our kids absolutely love it. So we dance to that probably, you know, multiple times per day with the kids.
Nice. Love that. And, of course, everyone's staying home right now, but do you guys have a favorite vacation spot? Or for you, describe the perfect family vacation. Where would it be?
Yeah, so being from Massachusetts, we go back there every off season, and we love going up to Cape Cod. In our off seasons, the weather isn't exactly, you know, great beach weather, but we got to spend a week there last October, and the weather was still nice enough to enjoy the beach and let the kids kind of kick their feet around in the water. So that would be our top spot for sure, just going up to Cape Cod.
Nice, especially from a guy here that grew up in New Hampshire, Hampton Beach, man. That water was ice cold, and after a while, you kind of got used to it.
Yeah.
So I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and again, I love the fact that, again, when I have a chance to chat with a pro athlete and just, you know, who's good at their craft and all that, whether, you know, I'm talking to a NASCAR driver, football player, whatever the case may be, when you hit a home run, describe the feeling of, like, when you know, like, yep, this is going out.
Yeah, I mean, so for me, I was telling you about my transformation as a hitter. I wasn't very good and never really hit any home runs. I hit one home run my whole high school career. It was my last game as well, like, last game of high school career. So, I mean, growing up, I had no power essentially. And, you know, I was kind of coached to not really try to hit a home run. I was kind of coached to slap the ball and play and use my speed and all that kind of stuff. So up until basically last year, maybe 2018, the few home runs I did hit, I was sprinting out of the box because I had no clue if I hit it far or hard enough to get over the fence. But it's been fun actually the last couple of years now that, you know, the home runs that I have hit, I've hit more of them, and they're not just scraping the top of the wall anymore. So when I have connected the last couple of years and just knowing that it's, you know, knowing that it's gone, I don't have to sprint out of the box. That's a fun feeling. You know, I'm not a type of guy that's going to, you know, show a pitcher up and flip his bat or anything like that. But,
yeah.
You know, you do enjoy it. And I have two responses, I guess. One of them is to subconsciously just kind of flick the bat out of my hands. Like it's, you know, super hot. It just came out of the oven, something like that. I don't even know I do that, but it just kind of happens. And the other one is for me to kind of, I just carry the bat, I guess, a couple steps down the line and just kind of drop it gently. My two ways, I guess, of enjoying hitting a ball well. So It's fun, man, just to know that, you know, I put in the work and I can enjoy that moment. Hopefully I'll hit a lot more of them this year when we do start playing.
Nice, man. Appreciate that. And lastly, what are the top three words you hope your sons would use to describe you as a dad?
Wow. That's tough. I'd say present, just being there with them and, you know, being where my feet are. I'd say loving, that they know I care about them and have their best interests in mind at all times, and, you know, maybe dependable. Nice. Just knowing that whatever they have going on, no matter how old or young they are, that they can always, you know, depend on me to be there for them, for support or help or whatever they might need.
Love it. Great three words right there, man. People, make sure you follow Nick on Twitter at NickAhmed13. Appreciate you taking the time to chat with me about baseball and, of course, fatherhood, man. I love your take on fatherhood. Continued success in the future, sir. And also, too, thanks for doing everything you're doing for, like, when you were teaming up with Food for the Hungry and Big League Impact and Striking Out Poverty, man. It's really cool to see that. And, again, I know people sometimes expect, like, people who are in, you know, sports to do that. You don't have to do that. You guys do that out of the kindness of your own heart and want to give back. And so I just want to applaud you for doing that, sir.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to give back and help out where we can. And I appreciate you having me on the show. It's been a lot of fun.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to theartoffatherhood.net.